5. Let's get some good news now from the Word of God. Let's turn to a very familiar portion of God's Word, John chapter 3. It's well known to all of us, but it's good to read it. So let's read from John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
My hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my God, I pour at thy feet, its treasure store.
Number 15, the whole hymn. Just hear the ladies singing on the last verse, just the ladies on verse 3.
No condemnation now I
pray.
Thank you.
lost my way. Shepherd of love, you cared that I'd gone astray. You sought and found me, placed around me strong arms that carried me home. No foe can harm me or alarm me. Never again will I roam. Shepherd of love, Savior and Lord and guide, Shepherd of love, forever I'll stay by your side.
I'm going to ask at this time that we bow in prayer. I'm going to seek the Lord's blessing. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, as we come this evening to look at your word, to meditate upon its message, to ask you to speak to our hearts, we come to you, O God, this evening, recognizing our own deep need. And O God, this evening, we know that you are the only one that can reach the need of our heart and lead us to yourself. And so we pray at this time that every heart may be stilled and every mind centered upon the Lord, and that at the close of this service, those of us who have faced our own need and have seen the sufficiency in the person Christ to meet every need of our heart, may quietly come to him, asking him, the risen Lord, to be our Lord and our Savior too. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're turning tonight to the third chapter of John's Gospel and looking specifically at the statements that the Lord Jesus made to Nicodemus concerning the need for a second birth. This message that came from the Lord Jesus amazed this learned man. And his response to the Lord Jesus was simply this: how can a man be born twice? How can a man be born twice? And Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, it is important, in fact it is imperative, that every man receives two births. The physical birth which brings him into this world, and a spiritual birth which makes him fit for the world that is to come. Nicodemus, said Jesus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. There are millions of people in the world today who seem, as the song which we have just been listening to, they seem to understand this and yet cannot begin to fathom their way through its mystery. But they feel so lost. They feel as if there is a God someplace, somewhere, but they cannot make contact with him. They believe there is more to living and more to life than what they have, but they cannot get into a deeper world with more blessings and deeper and more wonderful experiences. They're out in the cold, they're lost, they're bewildered. But Jesus tells us there is a spiritual world, a spiritual sphere that every person can step into by faith. We only enter into a relationship with God and know him as our Father by faith. We only enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and know Him as Savior by faith. We only receive the spiritual power of God by faith. We only experience the blessings of God within our very personality. By faith we take these things from the God of love and from the risen Christ who 2,000 years ago died that we might live. Yes, just beyond what seems at this moment to be your grasp, there is a whole new world which in fact is not beyond your grasp but can be taken tonight by faith. John Wesley, one of the greatest preachers that the British Isles ever knew, was a man who found it necessary to preach the new birth in almost every sermon. Scarcely did he ever stand to preach without urging men to be born a second time. He was indeed one of the greatest preachers, for he influenced millions and millions of lives. The story of the revival that swept our land because of his ministry is told by thousands and thousands of little chapels scattered all over Great Britain, from the northernmost tip of Scotland to the southwesterly tip of Cornwall. Thousands and thousands of chapels were built by little companies of believers whose lives have been changed and transformed by the preaching of the simple message of the new birth by this man. He would be up early in the morning. In fact, he never slept more than 4 hours per night. And he would be at the coal mines at 4 o'clock in the morning as men assembled to go on their early shifts down to work those arduous tasks of the day. He would be there preaching to them before they descended into the bowels of the earth. And he would be there as men came up from the pits. Whether it was the coal mines or the tin mines, he was there at the factories, out in the fields talking to the rural men. He was there with a message, you must, you must, you must be born again. One man who had heard Wesley preach often came to him one day and said, sir, why do you preach so often on the subject you must be born again? And Wesley said, there is only one answer, because you must be born again. I want to ask you all this evening to answer this question very simply in your heart. Do you know what the new birth is? Have you ever been born again of the Spirit of God? I'm not asking you this evening whether you're religious, whether you've embraced and accepted the message of Christianity. I'm not asking you this evening, are you a church member? Have you been baptized? I'm asking you this simple question. Do you understand the new birth? Have you ever experienced the new birth in your life? Could it be that this is the secret to the search of your heart? Could it be that you have never really found God at all? This deep search from your soul for Him has been missed. You've missed the way. You've missed God. You've missed the blessings because you have never understood that a man must be born again. Some of you are saying, well, I don't really understand what it means to be born again, but perhaps you'll tell me in the course of the evening. And I hope that I'll make it so simple and plain that the youngest child with us tonight will be able to come to the Lord Jesus and receive Him by faith and be born again. For in a few moments' time, I will be asking you to get up out of your seats. And I will be asking you to come quietly and reverently down the steps and to stand here around this rostrum to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and to be born again. That's what this meeting's all about. About you finding God. About you entering into a personal relationship with God. About your sins being forgiven. New life coming into your soul, and you're going home with the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior and friend. Yes, I will make it clear and plain what it means to be born again. But may I answer this question first, and it's one that's being asked by many in this auditorium this evening. Why does a man need to be born twice? Why does a man, or a boy or a girl, need to be born twice? And the answer is, a person needs to be born twice because the first birth, said Jesus, only gave us the right to live once in this world, but not to live in his kingdom. Why? Because our birth into this world was one which was affected by sin. And every person born of the flesh, the Bible says, and that simply is referring to our natural birth, everyone that is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, when we read in the Bible about natural man, our nature, our personality, we discover that all of us have been affected by the fall of Adam many, many thousands of years ago. Now, we know the simple story. Some of you may feel that you're almost unable to accept this simple story as to how sin came into the world. But I believe the Bible. I accept this book entirely. I may look a fool, but I am gladly willing to be a fool for Jesus' sake and for the faith that I have in the God that I know and trust. I believe in the book. I don't know whether you've got any other explanation that you could give me as to how sin became universal, how it has affected all peoples everywhere, in every nation under the sun. But it is a fact that the whole human race is imperfect. This problem causes every government of the world to spend millions, yea, billions and billions of dollars and pounds sterling on police force and law and order brigades that can bring some stability to the world. There will be no need for you ever to have a lock on your door or your window, or for you ever to lock the door of your car if sin hadn't affected everybody in the world. Just think what kind of a world it would be if nobody ever stole anything, if no one was ever mugged, if no one was ever brutal or unkind. Just think how beautiful family life would be if men's hearts were sinless and loving and pure and kind and true. But just think of the world as it is. How violent, how vile, how filthy, how unclean. The fears we have for our growing children. We all face the fact that we live in an imperfect world. And the Bible says that this imperfect world is made up of imperfect people. And the Bible says there is not one person on the face of this globe that is not affected by sin. And the Bible says that the whole thing began when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They took of a simple fruit from a tree, but it was an act of disobedience. And man began to live without God. The Bible says in that moment that man took of the fruit of the tree, fellowship between man and God was broken. From that time till now, man has been separated from God until God came back to bind up the wounds and to restore fellowship. Natural man has no communication with God at all, yet every natural man in the world seeks for God, longs for God, yearns for God. And every person in the world has a life that is empty and meaningless until God comes in to fill it. You can take to pleasure. You can believe that all the problems of your heart and life will be solved by things, by money, by possessions, by what this material world can offer. But you know and I know that there is an emptiness in the heart, there is an emptiness in the soul. It is something that nothing in the world can fill. It's a vacuum that remains until God comes in and fills it. Now, the reason we need a new birth is because we were born of the flesh and we were born sinners. We were born with a nature that is opposed to God. Everyone. No one has ever been born into this world other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No other person has ever been born without the seed of sin within his heart. And that is why we need the new birth. Let us think about this subject of sin. The Bible uses a number of words to make clear to us why we need a new nature. We have a sinful nature that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have a sinful nature that cannot be welcomed into heaven. We have a sinful nature which has separated us from God. Let's think about this sinful nature and about the things that are in our lives which make the new birth necessary. Firstly, the Bible tells us that mankind is a transgressor. This word is used over and over again. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it. But you need a second birth, I need a second birth, because I am a transgressor. I have transgressed the law of God. And what does it mean? It means that I have gone over the boundaries which God has set. Now, God has clearly defined both moral and spiritual boundaries. And man is supposed, expected of God, commanded of God, to remain within those well-defined boundaries. But the Bible says that man is a transgressor. He has stepped beyond. He has gone over the boundary line. And who is guilty? I am. And you are. Could you just think at this time of the perfect standards in God's Word, the moral and spiritual values that God has taught us in this book, and you would not have to look back over many hours to look back to a moment when you went further than God allowed, morally and spiritually. Then the Bible speaks of us being not only transgressors, but it speaks of us being men and women who commit iniquity. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. That's what the Bible says. What is iniquity? It's a person who isn't straight before God. And I believe of these three thoughts that I bring you at this time, this is the one that goes deeper into my heart than any other. I am not straight before God. How many of us here this evening could stand up on our feet and say, looking heavenward to God, God, I am a man that is straight in all my dealings. I am straight in my behavior at school. Are you? Always straight? Young people, can God look upon your life at school and know that you always act in a way that is honorable and straight, and there is nothing crooked about the way you think and the way you act in school and college life? Are you straight? Are you always straight with the exam papers and the answers? Are you always straight in your relationships with others? Do your parents think of you as being very different to what God sees you? Do you pretend to be one thing at home, and do you act in another way when you're not at home? Does that mean you're not straight? You're not straight with your parents, and you're not straight with God? Are you always straight in your relationships with others? Do your parents think of you as being very different to what God sees you? Do you pretend to be one thing at home, and do you act in another way when you're not at home? Does that mean you're not straight? You're not straight with your parents, and you're not straight with God? Can I speak to a husband here tonight? Are you straight? Absolutely straight in your family dealings? Are there any shady dealings going on outside in business, away from the home, that would cause tears to come to your wife? Would she weep if she knew of some of those things that may not be openly wicked or wrong, but there are things that would break her heart because you are not straight? And so it may be for a wife here today. And if the tax man came to you and to me, and God opened up our books, would they look different before the tax man than when you send them in? How straight are we? And how straight are we before God? We mention things to Him in prayer, but oftentimes they're a lie from the heart. We promise things we never fulfill. The Bible says that man is crooked, that man is an iniquitous man, that man is not straight. And the Bible says that a man who commits transgression cannot enter the kingdom of God. And a man that commits iniquity cannot enter the kingdom of God. But then the Bible uses that little word sin. And what does that mean? It simply means that we've come short. Come short of what? The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are two ways in simple words I can explain coming short, which proves that our need of a new birth, our need of reconciliation to God, our need of salvation, our need of a new life. Sin, coming short. Let's think of the commandments. You know the Ten Commandments, so do I. You may not be able to recite them, but you know of them, you've read them, you know of what they consist. Now, if you and I were to stand beside the Ten Commandments and look at them squarely, wouldn't every one of us have to say, "Oh God, I failed. I've come short." We have. Some of us may not have come short by very much, for there are some of you who probably could look at the Ten Commandments and say, "But look, I've only missed by three. Seven of those commandments I have kept, Lord, you know. I am not guilty." Some may be able to say, "God, I have kept eight. I've only missed by two." And some may be able to say, if they dare, perhaps they could say, "Lord, I've kept nine." But there isn't a man or a woman, a boy and girl in this auditorium this evening that could say that we had kept the ten, for there isn't one of us could rise to our feet tonight and say, "I have loved the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength, and my neighbor as myself." We had a hard time in the last crusade. Some nights, and it seemed as if all heaven was shut, and it seemed as if all hell was let loose. But that night I could willingly have said to God, "God, if you'll save one man in this building tonight, you can send me to hell. I just don't care. These people need you so much. Oh God, their lives are so empty. Oh God, they're so hard. Oh God, they don't know where they're going. They're lost, they're broken, they're empty. They're rushing on towards eternity and they do not understand." And I felt what Paul felt. "Oh God, if only you will save them." And I realized I didn't know what it was to love my neighbor as myself. How many of us do? An evangelist I used to work with told me how that it came home to his heart with such force one day. He came back from a campaign and he was driving just toward his house. He turned the corner of the street down towards his home and there were two fire engines outside of his house and there was smoke and flames. He could see it leaping up into the sky and he drove at breakneck speed along the road and slammed on the brakes outside of his house. And then he sighed and said, "Oh, thank goodness, it's next door." He said it went through his heart like an arrow. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said he felt a bigger sinner at that moment than he'd ever felt in all his life because he knew that he didn't know the first thing about God's love for men. It's the neighbors. It's burning. Flames are leaping through the roof, but it's not my house. Thank God it's a neighbor's. And he said, I realized if I loved like God loved, I would have felt as much pain at the loss that they sustained as if it had been my own. And that's the love God has for you tonight. He loves you. And His love is so great that He sent His only Son to die upon a cross. He could not bear to see mankind lost and going out into eternity without salvation. And He came to die for them, and He loves you tonight. And Christ died for you, and tonight He's offering you a new life. My friends, we've come short. We've come short of the standards of God. And what's more, if we were to be stood by Jesus, God's lovely Son, He would be like a giant, and we would be like a dwarf. For we would have come short of the love of Christ and the character and the life of Jesus. We've come short. Friends, tonight the reason Jesus said you must be born again was because my heart is sinful and your heart is sinful, because the whole of my personality has been affected by sinful things, and I cannot inherit the kingdom of God unless I'm changed. Now we come to see about the change. Who needs this change? Everybody? Yes, everybody. To whom was Jesus speaking? He was speaking to Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus? He was a fine religious young man. Not a young man, an old man. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? But he was fine, upright, religious man. I keep reading this story of Nicodemus, and I pick out parts in the Bible about Nicodemus. And he's the sort of character that warms your heart. He was a good man. He was a kind man. He was a loving man. He was a gentle man. Everything about Nicodemus warmed your heart. There isn't anything about Nicodemus that says he was a sinner, in the sense that he was vile or bad or unclean. Only in the sense of what I've been saying tonight, that we are sinners because we do not measure up to God's standard. We are all here tonight, good neighbors, good sons and daughters, good parents to our children, fine workmen. We're nice folk to live next to. We wouldn't want anybody else to be next door. We love the folks that are around us. We're decent, good folk. But we are not good enough for God. Nicodemus was a church-going man, but Jesus said, Nicodemus, if you are not born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. But he backed it up with something that was far more startling. He said, Nicodemus, if you aren't born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. We don't even see the kingdom of God until we're born again. We can go to church every Sunday. We can take communion. We can kneel at the communion rail. We can be baptized as a baby and baptized by immersion. But we do not see the kingdom of God. For we can only see and enter the kingdom of God by faith. It is a dynamic experience whereby Jesus changes my personality. He gives me a new nature. He plants it within my soul. Who needs a new birth? I do. You do. Every human being needs to be born again. Wesley, that great preacher who in every sermon preached, you must be born again, was a preacher before he experienced a new birth. A great preacher. He preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but he hadn't been born again himself. If we're a preacher, we must be born again. If we're a Sunday school teacher, we must be born again. Without the new birth, we cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. It's for everybody. But you say, I don't really understand it. I said I would answer that question, and very briefly I will. Jesus said it was a mystery. Jesus didn't say that it was understandable. In fact, I could not really honestly explain to you this evening what happened to me when I was born again. For it isn't something that you can explain in words, it's something that you experience by faith. And there are no words that really make it plain and clear. But it is an experience that a child can receive. It is an experience that every individual in the world can step into by faith. By faith, by faith we enter the kingdom of God. By faith we receive salvation. By faith our hearts are cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. By faith Jesus becomes our Lord. By faith we step into this new kingdom and new relationship with God. By faith. And you can step into it tonight. It's a mystery. Jesus said it's as mysterious as the wind. Some of you have been reading about the severe gales that swept across the northern areas of Canada. Winds of over 100 miles an hour. Freezing rain and heavy snow. Destroyed homes, brought down the power wires. Left chaos and havoc. Did anybody see that wind? No, not a soul. The wind that toppled houses and turned them upside down. Nobody saw it. But people saw the effect of it. They saw toppled houses. They saw power lines laying on the ground. They saw the effect of a power, but they saw not the power. And Jesus says, so it is when you're born again. The new birth is the work of God, and you do not see the agency that brings it about. But the agency is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit brings about a new nature within you when you come to Jesus by faith. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take away your sin. The Holy Spirit will make you clean. The Holy Spirit will give you power. The Holy Spirit will give you a new nature. But Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's working is like the mystery wind. You cannot tell from whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. But there's power with God. And there's power with God to change every one of you girls' lives. You boys that are here tonight, there's power with God. You can go out of this auditorium with a new life. You teenagers here tonight, you can meet with God tonight and the power of God can enter your heart and enter your life. And in a moment of time, you can be born again. You can have your life changed. Changed by the power of God, not by my power, not by the power of a committee. Not by the power of a church, but by the power of God. For the new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, how can I have the Holy Spirit in my life? You can't have the Holy Spirit in your life until you are prepared to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have the Holy Spirit in your life until you are prepared to see your need of Christ and receive Him by faith. But when you do notice your need, when you're aware of your need, when you bring your needy life to Christ, when you bring your life with its problems, its fears, its doubts, its sin, when you bring your life to Jesus, the Son of God, and give your life to Him, the Holy Spirit will change you. And so I leave with this question and answer it. Upon what basis can you be saved tonight? Faith, yes. But it is linked with what the Bible calls belief. You say the two are one? Yes, perhaps they are. But I want to break down this word belief. For we come to these verses in the Scripture which says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know, Moses lifted up a serpent, people were dying, and they looked and they lived. So, said Jesus, shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if you want to walk out of this building tonight with every sin in your life forgiven, you can. If you want to walk out tonight a new fellow, a new girl, a new man, a new woman, you can. Every sin forgiven, you can have new life, you can have new power. It'll be the work of God, but how can it be yours? By faith, through believing. We must believe what? We must believe with all our heart that we are sinners because God's Word declares it. We must believe that. We must accept it as a fact. We must believe that we're in need of a new nature which God will give us if we bring our old nature to Him. Do you believe that? You are a sinner. I am a sinner. I say to God tonight, oh God, I am a sinner. Oh God, I am in need of You. daily in my life to keep me and to take me to heaven. Yes, I am a sinner. As a young man of 18, I confessed my need of the new birth, which is an experience for once, but a continuing experience of God's love we know in our heart. But this new birth is a one experience, just like you and I are only born once into this world. So we're only born into God's new kingdom once. Now, I must believe that I'm in need of it. I must believe that I need a new life. But then I must believe this, that God offers it to me in the person of Jesus. And I must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me. Do you believe that He died that sinners might be forgiven? Do you believe He died to put away sin? The Bible says He took your sin and mine. And He buried in His own body on the tree. I want you for this moment to look there by faith to the cross and to see hanging on that cross the Lord Jesus, nailed to a cross, bleeding, dying, agonizing. Why is He there? Because He is paying the price of your sin, paying your debt to God, and making it possible for your sins to be forgiven. Now, Jesus died for you. He's not dead now. You know the Scripture said the third day He was raised from the dead. And you must believe that He died for you, but you must believe tonight that He loves you. Oh, dear friend, He loves you. Boys and girls here, I just long for you all to get saved. There's no better time to get saved than when you're a child, with all your life to give for Jesus. You young people here tonight in your teens, how fantastic that you could come and give your young life to Christ tonight. Many of you are older and many years have been wasted, but listen, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He loves you. He's not willing that any of you should perish. He loves you. He doesn't only want to give you eternal life, but He wants to give you a new life now to live for Him at school, at home, at work, every place. He wants to give you a new life. And if you will believe that He died for you, and if you will come and receive Him into your heart by faith, you shall be saved. Now the Bible says this. We must confess our sin. That's repentance. Would you confess your sin tonight? Would you say to God tonight, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I need You." Would you say tonight, "Oh God, I believe that You love me and sent Christ to die for me." Will you say tonight to the Lord Jesus, "Lord Jesus, I want You in my heart. I need You. And tonight I'm willing to receive You." By faith, you can receive the Lord Jesus into your heart tonight by faith. How old do you have to be? If you're old enough to know what I've said, you can come and give your heart to Christ tonight by faith. You can come with your problems, your doubts, and your fears. You can come to the Christ who loves you. And if you come to Him tonight and receive Him into your heart, you'll go home with a new birth. You'll go home with a new life. You'll go home with your sins forgiven. And you'll go home with Christ in your heart as your Savior and your Lord. I'm going to ask you to come tonight to Christ. And we're going to sing. Tonight we can share in the singing. It's number 13 on your hymn sheet, and I want you to turn to it. As we sing, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that You bid me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come." I'm going to ask you to come. This is how we're going to do it tonight. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to make your way down the steps and come and stand here around this platform. It's your way of saying to God and to men, "Tonight I want the new birth. Tonight I want to be forgiven. Tonight I want new life. Lord, I'll come." I'm going to ask you to come. If you want a friend to walk down with you, they'd come with you. This last year we've seen many hundreds of married couples saved. Why don't you take each other's hands tonight and come? Maybe one of you's already been born again and the other's been hanging around trying to find their way to God. Why don't you come tonight and both of you be united in the Lord? There may be sweethearts here tonight. Won't be long before you're getting married. You're planning so much together. And yet there's one thing you're not sure of, that you both love Jesus. You sweethearts, come hand in hand to Christ tonight and trust the Lord. And you boys and girls and young people, come to Christ. This is your night to be saved. This is your night to be born again. There may never be another moment just like this for you. I can't promise you tomorrow. There may never, never be another moment just like this. But this is your moment with God. I'm going to ask that all of us stand to sing tonight. Let us rise to sing. As we sing this hymn tonight, Christians, make sure that you stand well back so that people can pass you and come. And wherever you are, if you're in the top row, wherever you are in this auditorium tonight, right now as we sing, you begin to make your way down. A Christian counselor will come and stand by you. You won't stand here alone. The moment you walk, a Christian counselor will come and walk down with you. They'll stand with you. After that, we'll give you some literature, have a word of prayer with you, and you'll rejoin your friends. Now, from all over the building, you come in faith to Christ and surrender your heart to Him and receive Him into your heart by faith. You come right now, all the way here. Stand here and wait for prayer. You come right now.